Well, you can be turning to Matthew 28, and I'll catch up with you in just a moment. Matthew chapter number 28 is Matthew's, at the end of Matthew's gospel, his version of the Great Commission. And we've been looking at the commission that our Lord gave us. And the reason why is because it is indeed, that is the commission that Jesus gave us, is what I've called the spark behind the business. The business that I'm talking about is our family business. We've discovered that you and I and the family of God, the way of a family business, and our main business, ladies and gentlemen, is to be His witnesses. Like we saw in Acts 1 and verse number 8, where the Bible says, where our Lord tells us that His disciples, that they'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost, and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And indeed they were. And that was their main business, and that is to be His witness. That is, these apostles and disciples of our Lord, the ones who heard Him teach, and the ones who saw His miracles, the ones who saw Him after His resurrection, visibly saw Him after He was raised from the dead and ate with Him, they are indeed the ones who are going around telling what it is that they know about Jesus, what they know about His teaching, what they know about His miracles, what they know about His death on the cross, what they know about His resurrection from the dead, His ascension back to heaven. They are the ones who are just going around telling everybody what they know about Jesus. Listen, that's what a witness is. And that's just somebody going around and telling everyone who will listen about the Lord Jesus, about who He is and what He has done in our lives, and what the Word of God reveals about who He is as our Savior, dead on the cross and risen the third day. Ladies and gentlemen, it is this book that reveals to us Christ. It is the Spirit of God that revealed Christ to us in our conversion, that's been revealing Christ to us since our conversion. And listen, y'all don't want to tell people what you know about the Lord Jesus. And as you tell them about what you know and what you've experienced, you are being a witness. And that's our main business. That is our family business as the people of God, as we journey through life. That's our purpose. That's what it is that we're to be doing. That is to be the focus of our lives, so that wherever we're at, whether it be the job that you do, or whether it be the place where you buy your gas or your groceries or with your family, but just being a witness. And that's what God has called us. That is our business. We've been spending time just learning about the supplies that God has given us for the business and the standards of the business, those basics about the business that we looked at. And we spent some time talking about the saints in the business, those saints of God who've been in this family business before us, have handed down the business to us, and are an example for us. And so we've been looking now at what it is that motivates us, or what it is that's the spark behind the business. That is, what is it that motivated the apostles to be His witnesses? And what was it that motivated them to keep on witnessing even in the face of opposition? You know, I can understand being a witness when people are listening and wanting to be saved and wanting to hear. But when it got to the point that they began to be persecuted, when it got to the point they're being arrested, when it got to the point that they're being intimidated by the Jewish leaders, there had to be something to keep them going besides it just being fun. You see, you and I live in a generation where if it's not fun, we don't want to do it. But ladies and gentlemen, they were doing that which was no longer fun, but required much sacrifice. But there's something that kept them sparked, that kept them motivated, that kept them going. And one of the things that we've discovered is that it was the commission that our Lord gave us. He gave them a commission before He left. And we discovered that the commission that our Lord gave those disciples, ladies and gentlemen, is found in all four Gospels and the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it's Acts 1 verse 8. What we discovered described to us there is the Spirit and the spread emphasized in that verse is you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Beginning in Jerusalem, expanding out from Jerusalem into Judea, expanding from Judea out into Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We read about the Spirit and the spread. In John 20 and verse 21 is John's version of the Great Commission where Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And we spent some time talking about the sending. And then in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, emphasized in Luke's gospel, the Great Commission is the sermon that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. In Mark's gospel, we saw the scope of the commission emphasized, where the Bible says we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every place, every person. And here in Matthew's gospel, if you're in Matthew 28, we see the specifics of the commission. In Acts 1:8, you'll see emphasized the spirit and the spread. In John 20:21, emphasizes the sending. In Luke 24:47 is the sermon. In Mark 16:15 is the scope. But in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, emphasized are the specifics. Here's what I mean by that, and that is that Matthew gives us a lot of specifics and details in his Great Commission that the other gospel writers just don't give us. We learn some things there about what our Lord said as he sent out the disciples and as he commissioned them somewhere on a mountain in Galilee. As he commissioned them, ladies and gentlemen, there are some specific things that we need to notice. For example, we spent some time in verse 16 this past Lord's Day noticing the specific place, that mountain somewhere in Galilee, and it's very significant because of what Jesus said earlier when he told them, after I've risen from the dead, I'll meet you in Galilee, and then it happened. There's the specific place mentioned in verse 16. There's a specific person mentioned in verse 17, where the Bible says that all of a sudden, while they were on that mountainside, the Lord just showed up. He was actually physically and visibly there, and they saw him, and they worshiped him. As Jesus began to speak, emphasized in verse 18, is the specific power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the one who has all power, all authority. And the reason why that's so significant is because when you get to verse number 19, we find this on the basis of his power or his authority that we're to carry out this commission. We've been authorized by the one who has all power and all authority, and therefore we have the right to share the gospel. We have the right to be his witnesses. There's the specific power mentioned in verse 18. And then there is the specific purpose mentioned in verse number 19. And that is, I said to you in verse number 19, that it's an unusual verse. It sounds like the Lord is telling us to do a lot of things, but he's really only telling us to do one thing. There's only one verb and the rest are not. In verse number 19, instead they're participles. The Bible says, go ye therefore, and here's what we're supposed to do. Here's our purpose. Teach all nations. That is our specific purpose. And the obviously implied in the teaching of all nations, ladies and gentlemen, implied there is that we're to teach the gospel. Just like Mark said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news about Christ, and we're to do it to every creature. So teach all nations. That is our purpose. And that is every person. It makes no difference who they are. We saw in the Gospel of Matthew that there was a time in the Gospel early on that Jesus said, only Jews. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only in chapter number 10. We looked at verses where Jesus did great miracles, ladies and gentlemen, and after doing a great miracle, he said, don't tell anybody. We looked at Peter's great confession in chapter 16 where he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus said, don't tell anybody. But now he's telling them, now's the time. Now the redemption's price has been paid. Now that Christ has been crucified. Now that he has risen from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to teach all nations. And that is the main purpose. That's the main verb in the sentence. That's what Jesus wants his disciples to do. And then there is a specific path that he wants them to take in doing that. And that's the three participial phrases that's found here in verse number 19 and also carrying over into verse number 20. The specific path. That is, how are we going to do this? How are we going to teach all nations? I mean, how is it that the Lord wants us to carry out this purpose that he's given us where there's a specific path that we're to take? Number one is the path we got to be going. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, of go ye therefore means on the basis of his authority, he's authorized you to go teach all nations, so get going. That's how we do it. We go. And the idea is going for that purpose. Going for the purpose of teaching all nations, of telling everyone about our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the path that we're to take. So I don't know what to do. Just go. Just go. And as you go, be a witness. Hey, when you go to the store, be a witness. When you go to work, be a witness. When you go to be with your family, be a witness. And let's just go and be a witness wherever you are. So as you go, be a witness. That's the idea. First of all, there is going. And then secondly, we discovered in verse number 19 in the service Sunday night, baptizing. Going and then baptizing. And that is those who hear the gospel and receive Christ, they are to be baptized. The Bible says they're to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we spent some time learning a little bit Sunday night about the triune nature of God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet He is still one God. And we spent a few moments learning a little bit about that. But here's the point, and there's everybody who receives Christ, everybody who believes, everybody who turns to Christ and is born again, everybody who is ought to be baptized. The reason why is because baptism is the means by which we publicly profess and publicly identify ourselves as those who've turned to Christ and received Him as the Lord of our life. Now, baptism doesn't save anybody, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to tell you that everybody who's saved ought to be baptized as a public declaration of that inward experience that God did in your heart when He brought you out of death and gave you eternal life. Just like baptism pictures death and burial, and just like it pictures resurrection, even so, if you've been saved, God brought you out of death and gave to you eternal life, and baptism identifies you as those who are in Christ and those that are following Him. It publicly identifies you as such. Now, I know that you and I in this day, we celebrate baptism, and they did in the early church as well. But I'll tell you that those who were baptized, they not only were celebrated, they were also persecuted. And that is to publicly identify yourself and not be a secret follower of Jesus, but to publicly identify yourself in a day of persecution was a big deal. And that's what they were to do. Those who came to Christ were to publicly identify themselves as followers of Christ. Here's the pathway that we're to take. If we're going to teach all nations, we're to go. Going with the gospel, and we're to be baptizing those who are believers. So let's look now, verse number 20, that brings us to that point, and let's notice the third path, the third leg of this path. There's not only going, and there's not only baptizing, but also teaching. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See, the commission that our Lord reveals here begins with going. Going with the good news of the gospel. And as the disciples go to the lost world with the gospel, there are going to be some who are going to respond by turning to Christ and receiving Him as Lord. And those individuals are to be baptized in His name. But listen, that's not where the commission stops. It doesn't stop with conversion and baptism. Those who believe and are baptized, then the Bible says here, are to be taught. In other words, the responsibility being given to the apostles here is to teach those who turn to Christ. They're to teach them what they themselves have been taught by Christ. What it is the Lord commanded them, what the Lord taught them, they are then to teach others what Jesus taught them. And notice with me here then what the apostles were to teach other is all the things that Jesus had commanded them. Think about that now. And that is for over 3 years, Jesus had been teaching these men what it means to follow Him. If you were to read through the entire Gospel of Matthew, you would read many of those commands, those things that Jesus taught His followers. They were to teach those same commands now to others who had believed the gospel and are baptized, just like Jesus taught them. All that He taught them, they are now to teach others. You say, well, what are some of the commands that Jesus taught these apostles? I mean, listen, if we were to look at all of them, that is, just look at everything in the Gospel of Matthew, if it was just Matthew and look at all of them, we'd have to go back to the beginning of Matthew's Gospel and start there, and I would be forever getting through all of that. And so we're not going to do that. We're not going to go all the way back and look at all the commands that Jesus taught. But let me just highlight a few of them. That is, if we are to teach them to observe all the things that Jesus commanded, what is it that Jesus commanded that they might teach others as well? That is, those, as they take the gospel to the nations, like they do in the book of Acts, and then those who believe and are baptized are then taught, what would they teach them? Well, they might, maybe they would teach them the first command that Jesus gave them. When you look in Matthew chapter number 4, you'll see his first command to them. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter number 4. You'll remember this. In Matthew 4 verse number 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren. Now these two brothers are Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And listen to this. And he said unto them, here's his command, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you see his command? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers. I mean, that is, the Bible says in verse number 20, and they straightway or immediately left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. We assume that he probably said the same thing. He probably said, follow me, and they immediately left their ship and their father, and they followed him. Do you see it? What was his first command? Follow me. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That is, it was Peter and Andrew, and it was James and John. Where right here in Matthew's gospel in chapter number 9, we see it again. In chapter number 9, the Bible tells us in verse number 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. That is, he was a tax collector. And guess what he said to him? His command is, follow me. And the Bible says he arose and he followed him. And so when Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go teach all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, I want you to teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Why, one of the first things that these apostles may have thought about was that first command that Jesus gave them. And that is, they may have taught others, you know what you got to do, follow him. If they're going to teach others what Jesus commanded them, then they've got to teach them how to follow Jesus. How to follow him. Now listen, that's a pretty good lesson for all of us to learn, is it not? Just how to follow him. I mean, how am I going to follow after him? That's what they're teaching them. Here's what we learned about following Jesus. And that is, first of all, you just got to take the first step. Somebody might say, well, what's the first step in following Jesus as a believer? The first step is just leaving the past behind. You got to leave the nets behind. You might have to leave Daddy in the boat. That is, James and John said, we left Dad in the boat, left the nets there. And Peter and Andrew said, we left the boat and the nets we were mending. And we just had to leave everything. We surrendered everything to follow him. That's what they're trying to teach. It might be that that's part of the Great Commission. Just teaching others how to leave everything behind, how to surrender everything that we are, our jobs, our careers, our plans, our goals in life, and just say, Lord, I give it all to you. I surrender it all to you. Now, God may give it back to you and let you go ahead and do something. I don't know. But the idea is I surrender it all so that I might be able to follow you fully with my life. Wherever you lead, that's where I'll go. Don't we sing that once in a while? Wherever he leads, that's where I'll go. I'll follow him wherever he leads me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that's one of the things that they're to be teaching and that we're to be teaching as a part of the Great Commission. Just teaching them how to follow Jesus. That was the first command. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, he also commanded them to pray? He gave them some commands in the Sermon on the Mount. And that is when you look at our Lord, teaching them in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave them a lot of different commands. And one of them that I really spend a lot of time focusing on is the command to pray. Look in chapter number 6 here in the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter number 6 and beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. Don't be like Don't be like the Jewish leaders that want everybody to see them pray. But when thou prayest, verse number 6, here's what I want you to do. Enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, listen, don't pray so everybody will be impressed with you, but get alone with God and spend time in secret alone with God and praying. And then he taught them how to pray. He said, this is the manner in which you ought to pray. And he begins to tell them, ladies and gentlemen, in verse number 9, he begins to tell them the things that they ought to be doing when they pray. You remember that, don't you? When he said, after this manner, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And by the way, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Now listen, you and I can spend a lot of time just trying to figure out what Jesus commanded them that they're now to that they're to teach others, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, listen, he commanded them to get alone with God and pray in secret. And then he taught them how to do it. Now, this is not a prayer that you and I are just supposed to be repeating, or it wouldn't mean much after a few repetitions. But it is a pattern for what we ought to do when we get alone with God in prayer. He set the pattern for them. He laid it out for them. If you're not going to teach others, listen, if we're going to teach others what Jesus commanded us, then they're going to have to teach them how to pray. They're going to teach them how to follow Jesus. They're going to have to teach. Did you know they're going to have to teach them how to fast? Why, Jesus said in chapter number 6 and verse 16, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint your head and wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know what he taught them how to do? He taught them how to fast right. Taught them how to pray right. Taught them how to fast right. Now, if they're going to teach others what Jesus commanded them, then they're going to have to teach them how to pray, and they're going to have to teach them how to fast. Did you know that they're going to have to teach them how to seek the kingdom of God first above everything else? Why, in chapter number 6 of Matthew's gospel, in verse number 33, it says, Jesus said this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen, if they're going to teach others what Jesus commanded them, they're going to have to teach them how to seek the kingdom first above everything else. Did you know that if they're going to teach others what Jesus taught them, then they're going to have to teach them how to forgive others? What Jesus taught them in Matthew chapter number 18, he taught them about the importance of forgiveness. Listen to Matthew 18. You remember this story, don't you? In Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 21, the Bible says Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? If somebody offends me, how many times do I have to forgive them? 7 times? Now that was generous according to Jewish thought. The Jewish leaders taught about 3 times. If somebody messes up 3 times, you forgive them 3 times, but that's just about it. So Peter doubled and added 1. He said 7 times, and he thought he was really probably doing well. Until Jesus said to him, ladies and gentlemen, until Jesus said to him, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. He's telling him, ladies and gentlemen, to forgive 490 times. No, he's saying forgive and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving. And then he tells them a story about the importance of those who've been forgiven of forgiving others. If we're going to teach others what Jesus taught us, then the apostles are saying, what are we going to teach them? Well, we're going to have to teach them how to forgive. Did you know that if they're going to teach others what Jesus taught them, they're going to have to teach them how to serve, how to be a servant? Why, in Matthew chapter number 20, beginning of verse number 24, listen to what Jesus taught his disciples. The Bible says when the 10 heard it, that is, when they heard James and John trying to figure out how they're going to be able to sit on the right hand, on the left hand, when Jesus enters into his kingdom, when they heard that, they were moved with indignation against the 2 brethren. That is, they were mad. Now, can you imagine? I know you can't imagine that in this little church setting, there's only 12 of them, that in this little church setting, that they are mad and angry with one another in their little setting. And the Lord is right there with them. Can you imagine being in a church where God is present and people are mad at each other? Well, that's what Jesus had on his hands. He had 12 men, and 10 are mad at two of them. And they're angry because they're trying to figure out who's going to be on the right hand and on the left hand. And the reason why they're mad is because they're jealous. They want to be on the right hand and the left hand and not James and John. Listen, these folks are competitive. They're angry. They're moved with indignation one to another. And so Jesus called them to him. And here's what he said in verse 25. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that exercise authority are great, exercise authority upon him. You know how the world is. In the world, those who are great are those who are in authority, who have positions of authority. But he said, that's not the way it's going to be in my kingdom. He said, it shall not be so among you, verse 26, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to or served, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. You know what Jesus taught them? He taught them, ladies and gentlemen, to be servants. To not desire after positions of authority and power, but to be like a slave and serve others. Now, if they're going to teach others what Jesus commanded them, they're going to have to teach others how to serve. I'm just trying to give you a little taste of some of the things that Jesus commanded them. And how can we forget the great commandments? Remember that when Jesus in Matthew 22, you might remember when Jesus was asked, hey, Master, why don't you get in on a theological discussion and tell us which of the commandments you think are the greatest commandments? They're trying to trip him up and Jesus just came and he said, well, you know which one it is. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is like it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, all of the law hangs like two hinges on a door. The whole law hangs on these two commandments. You know what he's teaching them? You know what he commanded them to do? To love God and to love others. And now he's telling them in the Great Commission, I want you to teach others to observe the things that I've commanded you. Well, they're going to have to teach them the great commandments. Why, did you know that when Jesus was teaching the apostles, he taught them the importance of watching? Of watching. In Matthew 24 and verse number 36, you remember this. In Matthew 24 and verse number 36, Jesus said about his coming, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't know, they knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. In other words, his coming is going to be sudden, unexpectedly. People are still going to be grinding at the mill. They're still going to be working in the fields, and all of a sudden he's going to come. And so here's his command. Watch, therefore. Watch, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watching for the second coming of Christ. His command to watch. Listen, maybe that's one of the commands they need to teach others to observe. Those who believe and receive the gospel, teaching them what Jesus commanded them about watching. Maybe they need to teach them what he commanded about eating and drinking. You remember in the upper room in Matthew chapter number 26, when the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He commanded them to remember him whenever they ate the bread and drank from the cup. And maybe that's one of the things they need to command them and teach them to observe. John tells us about his new command. Remember the new command in John's gospel in John chapter number 13? Trying to give you an idea of what it is they need to be teaching. If we're going to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, we're getting a taste of what that can involve. Jesus gave them a new commandment in John chapter number 13. And verse number 34, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Jesus said, you guys need to love each other. And it's by this, this will be your greatest testimony, is the way you love each other. This is his command. And ladies and gentlemen, now he's telling them in this great commission at the end of Matthew's gospel, he's saying, teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And now there's this command to preach the gospel, to teach all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see is a small sampling of a few things that Jesus commanded the apostles. And Jesus tells them here that all these things that he's commanded them, this is what they're to teach others. Those who hear the gospel, believe the gospel, are baptized in his name, teach them all of these things. You say, Pastor, how in the world are the apostles going to be able to teach everything that Jesus commanded? I mean, all this stuff that he commanded, how are they going to remember it all? Here's what Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 25. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." He said, when the Spirit of God comes, after I've died on the cross, raised the third day, and after I ascend back to heaven, the Spirit of God's going to come. And here's one of the things the Spirit of God's going to do, and that is he's going to cause you to remember all the things that I have taught you. And you know the reason why the Spirit of God is going to remind them of all the things that Jesus taught them? Well, it's so that they can teach others all the things that Jesus commanded and taught them. Now notice with me back in Matthew 28 and verse number 20 that we're to teach others to observe all the commands of Christ. The idea of observing, ladies and gentlemen, that word observed there is to pay close attention to something for the purpose of obeying. Observe. When you're observing something, you're paying close attention to it. It'd be like somebody going to the hospital through the emergency room and the doctor said, "Listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep you here 24 hours for observation." Now, the reason why they're going to keep them there 24 hours for observation is so that they can watch them closely. And even so, when the Bible says that we're to observe, teach them to observe, it means we're to pay, teach them to pay close attention to the things that Jesus taught and commanded. And the reason why we want to pay close attention to them is so that we can know how we're to live, so that we can know what we're to do. That is, so that we can know what it is that our Lord has said, so that we can obey his commands. The goal of teaching his commands here is not just knowledge, it's obedience. The disciples were to teach others the commands of Christ, not just so that they would know about them, but so that they could obey what it is that Jesus commanded. The commission of the church is not just to teach all nations so that they'll believe the gospel and go to heaven when they die, but it's more than that. And that is the commission, ladies and gentlemen, is to teach all nations so they'll believe the gospel, be baptized, and then obey the commands of Christ for the rest of their life. Teaching obedience to the commands of Christ is one of the pathways that the commission is carried out. He's given us here a specific path. Think about it now. Think about this. If those who hear the gospel and believe are taught to obey the commands of Christ, then that means that they're going to do what Jesus commanded here. They're going to teach all nations. And listen, if others who hear them and believe are also taught to obey Christ's commands, then they're also going to teach all nations. And before long, there are going to be people everywhere sharing Christ. And this is exactly what happened. That's the story in the book of Acts. Listen to what these apostles did in Acts chapter number 2. In Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost has come. The Spirit of God moved. The disciples are filled with the Spirit. They go out and they start teaching all nations. Everybody, listen, there are Jews at Pentecost from all over the world, and they are gifted with the gift of tongues to speak in their languages, and people from all over the world are hearing the gospel, and 3,000 of them believed the gospel. They received Christ that day. And verse number 41 says, "They that gladly received his word, They were baptized. Now that reminds us of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, teach all the nations, go and teach all nations, and then baptize them. They did. They taught them. They were those who believed, 3,000, and they were baptized, the Bible says. And verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They stayed right there at the with the apostles to be taught by the apostles. The apostles' doctrine is their teaching. You know what they're doing? You say, what are the apostles teaching them? They're teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus commanded. That's what they're doing. And that's what they did. Now, these new believers who were taught by the apostles, then they went with the gospel and they taught others. The Bible says in Acts 8, as we've looked at in previous messages, the persecution broke out in Jerusalem, and those believers who got saved and were being taught in Jerusalem by the apostles, they were scattered outside of Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 8, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says they that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. They went everywhere sharing the gospel, baptizing believers, and they taught them as well. You'll see they went as far as Antioch of Syria in Acts chapter number 11 that we looked at this past Lord's Day. And in Antioch of Syria, those who were scattered, those who got saved, who heard the apostles teach and were scattered, they went there, they began to witness, they began to share the gospel, and there were people getting saved, they baptized them, and then they taught them. As a matter of fact, Barnabas was sent there, and he went and found Saul of Tarsus, and they taught them for over a year before they were sent on the first missionary journey. They were teaching the new believers. Those who were taught are now teaching others. Here's the principle. Those who are taught the Word of God, teaching others to obey Christ's command so that they can teach others as well. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, in the things which thou hast heard of me, Timothy, the things that I've taught you among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the idea. What we're learning about here are the specific paths in the Great Commission. That is, how do we go about teaching all nations? By going, baptizing those who believe, and then teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus commanded us. That's what we're to be doing as a church. Being a witness, sharing the gospel, those who receive Christ to be baptized, and then to be taught the Word of God. What it is that Jesus said and what it is that Jesus commanded. Now, in the final sentence in Matthew's Great Commission, ladies and gentlemen, we see here the specific presence. We've been looking at the specifics in Matthew's Great Commission passage, the specific place in verse 16. We looked at the specific person who showed up there, Jesus, in verse 17. We looked at the specific power. Jesus said, I have all the power and authority in heaven and in earth, in verse 18. The specific purpose in verse 19 is to teach all nations, and the path is by going, baptizing, and teaching. He closes it out in verse number 20 by telling us about the specific presence. Look at what it says there. Matthew 28 and verse number 20 once again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's our Lord's promise to his apostles. And his promise is the promise of his presence. He closes out this commission to the church with this statement that he wants them to pay close attention to. That's why he uses the word lo here. The word lo is used here, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why it's used here is because our Lord is about ready to make an important statement, and he wants them to pay close attention to it and think about it, because he's speaking here about the specific presence. He said, lo, I am with you always. As the apostles obeyed this commission, Jesus promised that he would always be with them. He would be. Now, this seems to contradict what Jesus said back in chapter 26 and verse 11, where he said he wasn't going to be with them much longer. And now he tells them that he's going to be with them always. You say, how could that be? Well, he explains it to us in John 14 and verse number 16. How could it be that our Lord, who said he wasn't going to be with them, now he says he is going to be with them always. He says in chapter number 14 and verse number 16, I'm going to pray to the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How's he going to come to them? In the person of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, he's promising to be with them always, and he's with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he was. Think about it now. Jesus was with the early church. He was with them. We see it in Acts. Let me just read this to you. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 46. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Bible says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know who was there with them? Well, he was. As they went about witnessing in Jerusalem and sharing the gospel and worshiping and living for Christ, the Bible says the Lord was with them, and he was the one who was adding those new believers. He was with the early church. Did you know that he was with Peter and John? Why, Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13, the Bible tells us that. Listen to what it says. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that is the Jewish leaders, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John, he was with them. Did you know that he was with Stephen? Well, the Bible says as Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and he saw the heavens open, and guess who was right there with him, standing at the right hand of God? Why, it was our Lord himself. Did you know that he was with Paul? You remember Saul of Tarsus that met Jesus on the Damascus Road? Hey, our Lord was right there. His glory was so bright that it blinded his eyes, and his voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Remember that. He was with him at his conversion, and he was with him throughout his ministry. Well, the Bible tells us about it in Acts chapter number 18. In Acts chapter number 18, beginning of verse number 7, the Bible says he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. This is Paul in the city of Corinth. And the Bible says in verse number 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And if your Bible is a red letter edition, you've got red letters here. It says, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him and said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You know who showed up in Corinth? Jesus did. He said, lo, I'll be with you always. He's right here with Paul in the city of Corinth. He certainly is. Why, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in verse number 16, when Paul was writing to Timothy after being arrested by the Romans, he said this in verse 16. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Nobody else did. When I stood before the Roman rulers, everybody forsook me. But guess who was there? Why, the Lord was. He said, lo, I am with you always. Did you know he was with John? John was an old man when he was exiled to the island of Patmos. Revelation chapter number 1, he was exiled there as a part of persecution. It was, listen, this is not no vacation island. This is rough living on the Isle of Patmos. That is, it's hard to survive on this island. But do you know who showed up on that island? Why, Jesus did. As a matter of fact, if you read Revelation 1, I don't have time to do it, but if you read it, you'll find out John saw him. He turned around. He heard the voice sound like the voice of many waters, and he turned around, and there he was. With his hair as white as wool and his eyes burning with fire. And he gives us a description of our glorious Lord. John saw him as right there with him. Here's what I want you to understand. That is that the Jewish leaders thought that they had gotten rid of the presence of Christ when they crucified him. But they didn't. He's present with his people. Now listen. He's always with his people. Lo, he said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he's telling the apostles that not only will he be with them, But he's going to be present with these people all the way to the end. Listen to me. I'll make a few statements and I'll be done. Christianity didn't end when the apostle died. But instead, they left behind a people who had turned to Christ and had the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And when that first generation of believers were all dead, they left behind another generation of believers that knew the presence of Christ. And down through the centuries, we have come right down to the 21st century. And there are still today those who have met the Lord Jesus, received Him as Lord of their life, and they know His presence and His power in their life. I don't know how long it's going to take before the Lord comes again, but here's what I know. There's always going to be a people who know Him. There's always going to be a people who know His presence. There's always going to be a people that Jesus is present in their life, living on the inside of them. And they are here for one particular purpose, and that's to be a witness to the world of who Jesus is. Now listen, that's our purpose. That's our family business that's been handed down from generation to generation, from one believing generation to the next generation that turns to Christ. And that is to be a witness to our world, to tell people about Jesus, the one who lives on the inside of us, the one whose presence that we enjoy, to tell others about Him. The reason why we do it is because that is the commission that our Lord gave us. That's the spark. That's the spark that motivates us, as our Lord has told us, to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Lo, listen to me. I am with you. And He is. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your word. And God, what You're trying to say to us, what You're trying to get through to us, pray that You'd use it to encourage Your people, God, to be bold in our witness, to fulfill our purpose, to do the business You've left us here to do. And that's to tell others about Your great forgiveness, that we who are such corrupt, sinful creatures, that You would let Your Son die for us on that cross, that You would be willing to forgive us of the wretchedness of our sin, make us right with You. God, I pray You'd help us to be bold in our witness, not to be shy, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we know that as we do, that You're with us. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.